The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Easter Sunday, above all else, means that Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, is alive. We don't merely remember him. We don't just tell stories of what he did. His cause doesn't just live on and his legacy endure. Rather, Easter Sunday means that Jesus Christ, 3 days dead, stood up in his tomb and walked out. You know the phrase the Gospels use to describe this reality? They call it the anastasis necron. Literally, the standing up of the corpse. Just to make sure you understand. You know, William Shakespeare once called death the undiscovered country. He said that in Hamlet. He said, "Death is the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler ever returns." Now, for certain, there have been some people, you know, you've heard of these near-death experiences. And you know, some people, they've had a glimpse of what lies beyond. But know this for certain, nobody has ever traveled to that country and then come back again until now. And the one who did is God come down to earth and take on human flesh. And because of that, everything on this earth for us is changed. Did you know that the entire Christian faith rises or falls on the testimony of Jesus Christ risen from the dead? If we subtract this out, okay, the faith is lost. Now, we could still tell some nice stories about God, and we could still have some nice ideas about how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to treat one another. And Jesus Christ would still be a great religious leader, one among many, with some ideas that you might find helpful for your life. Or maybe not. It's up to you. But understand this for certain. The Christian faith would be dead. And this life, whatever it is you decide to make of it, would be all there is. You better eat, drink, and be merry, because there is no tomorrow. Do you know what Easter Sunday means? It means two things. Two big lessons above all else. First of all, it shows us that death is not the end. And undergirding all of that, really the second lesson, is that evil does not win. I mean, at the end of all of this, in God's reckoning, evil doesn't win. It can't. There's lots of deep questions that you can ask of any religion out there, aren't there? Lots of deep questions. Or philosophy, you know, you can ask some of the questions about what makes life meaningful and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's only one question that matters. And that is, why is there evil? It's the only question that matters. And why does there have to be suffering? I mean, especially innocent suffering. And why is there death? Why do we have to see the ones that we love and leave them behind in death in a stone-cold tomb? If you had the chance to sit down with Jesus Christ for 10 minutes, how long you think it would be before you asked him one of those questions? I bet you wouldn't pass 30 seconds. Would you believe that the apostles effectively asked Jesus that question? They asked him. It was on Holy Thursday night before he died. Effectively, that's the question that they asked him. And you know what Jesus said in reply? He didn't give him an answer. This is what he said in reply. He said, "When you see me again, you'll have no questions to ask of me." And then they did see him again. They saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw him betrayed by somebody who they thought was one of their friends. Right? Judas Iscariot, he was one of the group. And he's the one who turned him over. And they saw him railroaded through a kangaroo court in the dead of night. You know, it was against the law in Israel to hold a trial in the middle of the night. They didn't care. They just did it anyway. And of course, he was convicted. And they saw him in prison. And they saw him sentenced to death. And they saw them beat him to within an inch of his life. And they saw him executed like a common criminal. Worst execution of all that the Roman Empire could dream up. They watched him crucified. And they watched him come down off that cross, sealed in a tomb. And they had lots of questions, because none of that made any sense at all. But then on Easter Sunday, you know, on that first Easter Sunday, the apostles were all locked together in a room because they were scared for their lives, right? They were known accomplices of a convicted and executed felon, scared for their lives. Easter Sunday night, you can hear the gospel next week, Easter Sunday night, they're locked in a room. And Jesus walks inside the locked room. Just walks right in. And they saw him with their own eyes. Not a phantasm, not a ghost, but you know, flesh and blood. And when they saw him risen from the dead, what Jesus said came to pass. They had no questions to ask of him then. Personally, I like to imagine Jesus looking out on all of his stone-faced apostles and saying something to them like, "What? You didn't really think I was going to stay dead, did you?" Now, here's my message this morning. What the apostles saw, you and I need to see that as well. What the apostles saw, you and I need to see as well. And when you do, nothing is ever going to be the same. When you do, your life will be changed forever. You know, Albert Einstein spent the better part of his professional life trying to find the answer to a theory, and he could never figure it out. Now, I don't pretend to understand physics or anything like that, but I'm told by people who understand this better than I do that it was called the unified field theory, and it was supposed to make sense of all the forces in nature, you know, like quantum mechanics at the subatomic level and gravity, and it all makes sense. And he could never figure it out. And he once said, "I've never been able to discover this theory, but I'll tell you this. They're going to discover it someday, and when they do, I can only say that it will be very, very simple. Because the truth is always very simple." Wise words. He was a wise man. Truth is always very simple. Life can be complicated, right? But the truth is always so simple. And here's the simple truth God wants you to know. That when things are at their worst, when they can't get any worse, I mean, when the last flicker of hope has died, when Jesus Christ was sealed in a tomb and the last flicker of hope died, that's the moment goodness won the fight. That's what the resurrection means. That's how God fights and wins, and you need to see it. You know there's no resurrection stories in the Gospels? Do you know that? You've got stories about everything else in the Gospel. We've got the nativity of Jesus, the story of that. And we've got miracle stories, and there are parable stories, healing stories, all kinds of stories. But the one story that really matters, there's no resurrection story. All you get are Gospels like this, where somebody shows up just a little bit too late to see what happened. No, why are there no resurrection story? Most important story of all. Why no resurrection story? You want to know why? It's because hearing a story about this is insufficient. You've got to see this for yourself. We've had stories of this down from the very beginning. According to the Gospels, first person who ever saw the risen Christ was Mary Magdalene. And she came back and told the apostles. Did they believe her? No, because the story's not enough. And then Jesus appeared to the apostles on that first Sunday night. And guess who wasn't there? Doubting Thomas wasn't there. And they all said, we've seen the Lord. He's risen from the dead. Did Thomas believe him? No. Because it's not enough to be told a story. And you know, down through the centuries, stories been told and stories been told, and somebody's told one person and that person's told another. And I guess at some point somebody told me. I suppose it was my mother. And here's a priest on Easter Sunday morning, and he's telling you that Jesus rose from the dead, but he's also telling you that it's not enough. You've got to see this for yourself. And here's what I mean by that. To see for yourself how God works and how the very, very worst, brought to absolutely the point of no hope, is never the end of the story. That what God did in Jesus on the resurrection, it's the way he acts. Once you see that, you will have no questions to ask. And once you see that, you will be uniquely qualified to help somebody else find their way through the darkness. Because Easter Sunday is the foundation of all hope. That's why whenever you see a genuinely joyful Christian, understand, he's not pretending. He's seen something. Something that changes everything. It's my prayer for you on Easter Sunday. If you haven't seen that you will, and if, like me, you already have, that you'll deepen that and that you'll understand the hope and the joy that are invincible. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said, "Never let any sadness in your life cause you to forget the joy that is Jesus Christ risen from the dead." Hear that and believe. Believe and act. Amen and alleluia.